Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Balls, Sticks, and Fist. It's your favorite show without an intro, and we are live. I'm your host, Keaton, joined by my co-host, Sam. We just wrapped up week one of college football and couldn't have asked for a better week. It kind of had all the things that you want in a week of college football. So yeah, on to week two. This episode, we're going to be just recapping week one, and then we'll have a preview for you for week two sometime later this week.
Wednesday or tomorrow we should have it out.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts on week one?
I mean, Saturday I pretty much predicted everything that was going to happen, but Thursday and Friday not so well.
You had one on Saturday that
which one?
Michigan minus 20.5.
Okay, that was like just to play something in the day. I didn't have that on my actual card.
Yeah, I know, but yeah.
But the big games like Georgia, the line kept moving down before the game. It made no sense.
Yeah, that made no sense. I don't know how anyone thought that game would have went any differently.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand.
That's how Clemson's been for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I know. I saw it playing out exactly like that, kind of slow first half, and then Georgia kind of just let it go in the second. So
Thursday.
Let's get into Thursday's games. North Carolina at Minnesota. What was the final score of that?
North Carolina 19, Minnesota 17.
Yep, I am very lucky. I got that at -1.5 for North Carolina, because that would have been a brutal loss if I had it at 2.5. But yeah, Max Johnson goes down with a broken leg. They bring in Harold. I don't see the season going too well for UNC. Harold's definitely going to have to make teams respect his arm, or at least like show that he's capable of making like any type of throw, because if he doesn't, then it's just a one-way train, and they know what's coming.
Yeah, Hampton's going to get the ball probably 40 times a game.
I mean, he got it 20-something on...
He got it 30 times.
Yeah, he got it 30 times on Thursday. Minnesota's new offense was kind of
pretty
like...
pretty terrible. It was basically the same thing.
Yeah, it was the same thing as last year. New quarterback, doesn't really matter. He's a chess player. He's really smart. Doesn't really matter. It was a rock fight, as I predicted. I had it as a rock fight, and it turned out to be exactly that, a rock fight.
Yeah, I was on the over there. That was probably my worst play of the week.
Yeah, that was a pretty tough play there.
I just figured that North Carolina's defense is never good. So, and naturally, their offense is usually pretty good.
When you have
Minnesota was supposed to have this new good quarterback that was going to air it out, did not happen.
Yeah, when you have two bad offenses going against each other, it just makes their defenses look so much better than what they are.
These two teams I might be fading a lot this year.
Oh, yeah. After this week, I already have my ban list, teams that I'm never going to fucking touch again, and then teams that I'm going to ride until the wheels fall off. And, you know, it's a long football season, so teams have their ups, they have their downs, but I'm going to ride them until all the wheels come off. And, and one of those teams, we'll just get into it, North Dakota State at Colorado. Shador tried everything to cover, throwing that deep ball late, almost cost him the game. Almost cost him the game, Colorado, were they improved up front?
On the offensive line, they looked better.
They looked better. Seton looked good.
But their defense is still atrocious.
I mean, their defense still is going to let up a million points. I mean, North Dakota State was, like, doing everything right on offense, like attacking them were. But at the end of the day, it is North Dakota State. I don't care if they're,
they don't have the best athletes.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of, like, on the fence about next week going into Nebraska.
I feel like Nebraska's going to roll them.
I don't see it happening. Whenever you have an offense that can score at will.
Yeah, but Nebraska's defense is solid.
I know. Nebraska did have a good showing last year against Colorado's offense. But I don't know.
It's basically the same team.
Yeah, I feel like Colorado's going to show a little more on the run game aspect. Hayden was like the third guy that got carries. It was 40. Really? Yeah, it was 44.
I wasn't able to watch the first half of that game.
Yeah, it was 44. Then it was
well, he was their leading rusher.
And then it was another back, and then Hayden finally got carries.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, he had 9. The next closest was 5 running back wise. Should have ran it 6 times.
Yeah, but nothing really going on the run game. Pass game, I mean, Horn was wide open. There wasn't a guy 20 yards of Horn all game.
Yeah.
He went for like 198, I think.
198 and a touchdown. Travis Hunter had 132 and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, now I think Travis Hunter only missed all but 2 snaps. I mean, he only missed 2 snaps. He played all but 2 snaps.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts this year.
Yeah, it's tough to do that. And Prime even said that he was going to, like, be more hands-on on, like, him, like, coming out of the game. But, like,
where do you take him out?
I know, like, you can't take him out because he's your best player. But, like,
on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, you can't play that many snaps for 12 weeks.
No.
So, obviously, going into Nebraska, he's probably going to play that same amount of snap count. But I don't know. I think Colorado wheels could fall off, or they could be an 8-win team. I don't expect them contending in the Big 12.
I'd still say, like, 6-win team.
We'll see. This week is a big test. This week's a big test, but...
Well, if they win this week, I'll give them 7.
If they win this week, yeah, it'd be a huge, huge, huge win for them.
What's the line at right now?
I think I saw it at 7.5.
Nebraska?
Yeah. I don't know if it moved at all. But it probably was not. It was 7.5. I'm checking right now to give you guys the best live odds spot, brought to you by
ESPN Bet.
No. No free.
7.5.
7.5.
On ESPN, at least.
I can't even find the game, if I'm being honest with you, so.
Yeah, 7.5. That's kind of...
Is it noon? Is it... No. Is it... What time is this game on Saturday?
I think it's later.
I literally cannot find it on...
Yeah, it's 7:30. 7:30 at night. Fox doesn't have it? Oh, because Fox has new Texas. Game. Yeah.
Texas and Michigan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good game, though. Good game. Really didn't learn much. But at the end of the day, you got to look at it across the country. There were some teams that played closer with some lesser opponents than Colorado played with North Dakota State.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? NC State really struggled.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get into NC State versus Western Carolina, but Western Carolina basically had that game for about 3/4 of the game. NC State's offensive line did not look very good. Grayson McCall was running all over the place. But then they got a score, they got a stop, and then the run game really, really took over in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Jordan Waters started to heat up.
Yeah. But
they scored 21 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
only won 38-21.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough ask for them this Saturday playing Tennessee.
Yeah.
Especially seeing what Tennessee looked like, obviously against a really, really, really less opponent.
Yeah.
But Nico threw for, a lot of yards, a lot of touchdown passes. So
yeah, I couldn't even tell you the final stat line.
Yeah, I'm kind of blank on Saturday right now. Not going to lie, but TCU at Stanford.
That was a good overhit.
Great overhit. Really sweaty. Thank you for kicking the field goal. Thank you for being a brain dead coach. I'm kidding. Thank you for being an aggressive coach.
Stanford. If you had Stanford, you're happy too, because I think the spread was like 9 or something.
Yeah. So the late field goal hit the over, but it also hit the cover for Stanford. If you're TCU, you're absolutely sick. But
especially after they went for it like 2 times in their own end.
Yeah, when I was looking at the game a couple days before, I just knew it was going to be an exciting game.
Yeah.
You got two, you know, you saw Stanford's coach. He's on the gas all game long, even if it doesn't make any sense at all to be on the gas when he's on the gas, like on your own 25 down by 3. let's go for it. Let's go for it.
The second one was 4th and 16. They have 3 timeouts left, down 7 points.
Yeah, it was
4th and 16 on their own, like 20, and they went for it.
Yeah, I wish they targeted Io Meyer a little more.
Yeah, they didn't start targeting him until later. Third.
Yeah, and he made some plays, but I wish we got to see him a little more. Yeah, but that was a nice little ACC after dark action.
Basically, Big 12. Our old Pac-12 football.
Yeah, it's great. Clemson versus Georgia, we kind of talked about it, but it kind of went exactly how expected. Georgia's got another stellar running back, true freshman. He kind of got his wheels rolling there late.
Yeah, Nate Frazier.
Yep. Back looks solid. He's not going to make a mistake. Defense, you know, stout as usual.
It's literally the same team as always.
Yeah, and then Clemson just, as always, had the lack of playmaking ability.
Yeah.
So
They don't have any weapons on the outside.
Yeah, I don't know where Clemson goes from here. ACC's wide open. Their season's obviously far from over. Even though they got their wheels blown off week one, this season is wide open for them in the ACC, just seeing how the ACC's been developing. Obviously, you got Miami at the top, but...
I mean, I'm still not, like, giving up on Clemson in the ACC.
Oh, no, they can very well...
I still think they can put it together and kind of make a run at it.
It's just they don't have that big playability. They don't have anything.
I know that.
Unless it,
Moff was a good running back, John.
Yeah, unless he
ran well when he had the chances.
Yeah, it's like you run and then you dink and doink down the field, but like, is that sustainable against the good teams?
No, that's the only thing. They don't play that many great teams in the ACC.
Yeah, no, that's why it's like far from over. But
yeah,
obviously it'd be a big test whenever they travel to Pitt in November, but. Yeah. Penn State at WVU kind of went exactly how expected.
Yeah, we literally said this, the exact thing that happened.
Yeah, close first half into the second half. Penn State kind of just took over. WVU really had nothing going all day long. They had a couple opportunities early to like capitalize and maybe take that momentum like right off rip.
Yeah,
but they failed to do so.
Yeah, if they scored when it was like, after that first fumble, they would have put some pressure on Penn State. I still think they should have went for the field goal instead of going for it on 4th and 1 for the second time that drive, and they shouldn't have got it the first time.
Yeah, no, there was some questionable all around week one. There was like some questionable spot, and then they say
game was filled with bad calls.
Yes, first off, C.J. Donaldson never touched the end zone.
No.
that ball literally never crossed the head. And the fact that they even, like, reviewed that, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And
the 2 first downs that West Virginia got on short yardage, those weren't first downs.
Yeah.
Penn State, I mean, they missed a blatant push-off at the end of the half. You could say that was just a makeup call for the 4th down they missed to give them 3, but...
Yeah. And then everyone in the Notre Dame game, Riley Leonard clearly passed the line of gain, like half his body. Yeah,
that was terrible.
It was all over. It was just weird weekend of officiating. I guess it's week one for them also, but you got replay looking at it too, and they're like agreeing with these calls. Yeah, it's like, what are you looking at?
That's what makes it worse.
Yeah, that it got like, confirmed. Yeah, it got reviewed and it stayed, and it's just bad. But I mean, looking at West Virginia, they just didn't offer much at all of anything. They failed to get White the ball. I know he got injured, but Aaron Neil Brown said after the game that after the break that they should have tried to give him the ball a little more. Garrett Green had absolutely nothing.
Secondary kind of exposed him.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking for the bright spot, like the silver lining for the WVU fans.
I mean, Jaheim White still averaged 4 yards a carry, only on 8 carries, but like he was breaking tackles and having good runs. Like that, there weren't open holes. It was just all him.
Yeah,
is what it felt like.
Yeah, he was definitely making guys miss and such. But, I mean, obviously West Virginia is still in it in the Big 12, in my opinion, just because the Big 12 is so wide open.
Yeah, And, this is the best defense by far that they'll see all year.
Yeah, but so they have Albany next week or this upcoming week. Then they go at Pitt. And, boy, oh, boy, if they go 1-2 – with 2 losses coming from Penn State and Pitt, it is going to get awful loud down there in Motown, I think.
Did Neil Brown just sign an extension?
I'm pretty sure he signed one, yeah. Yeah, but he signed one, but he took less money, I'm pretty sure, than...
You fumbled the bag versus Pitt, and you're looking at a rough season. After having a lot of hype coming out, 8 wins...
Yeah, I mean, even if they do lose to Pitt, they're still very much in the Big 12 because losses are out of conference. Game, yeah. But,
like, you're just talking about the morale.
Yeah, the morale in the locker room would definitely be down a little bit.
Because then you go from there, and then you got to go play Kansas, then Oklahoma State, then Iowa State, then Kansas State, then Arizona. Like, you don't get a break.
Yeah, but I feel Pitt's defense didn't. Pitt's defense has a lot to work on, in my opinion.
Yeah. And after watching Arizona, I do think West Virginia beats Arizona.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. It's tough to tell. I think West Virginia is still very much alive, but I'm going to need to see something a lot better on field product than what than just the tabloids like praising Garrett Green and co.
Yeah. I mean, flipping to Penn State, though, did they answer your questions at wide receiver?
No.
Really? Harrison Wallace?
No. They didn't answer my questions because I knew that they could do that to West Virginia's secondary.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, they said Harrison Wallace all camp, and it was true.
I know, but like it's not like I'm like blown away by like the receiving corps.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. I mean,
they did what they should have done. It would have been a massive red flag if they came out and like couldn't throw the ball in West Virginia. Like,
yeah, I mean, they could last year too, but West Virginia's defense overall was supposed to be better this year. But I think we both kind of called that out.
Yeah, it's like where did they get better at?
Yeah, I mean, they're returning the same guys. Last year.
Penn State kept Drew upright.
He just overall looked more confident playing.
Yeah, and you could see he was more emotional too, which like I feel like last year you didn't really see a lot of emotion out of him.
Yeah, only that one touchdown versus Michigan.
Yeah, and then I mean, Coach K got
him slimming down though. He looked better on his feet.
Yeah, he definitely used his feet. He stiff-armed Troeder into the ground. People are like, dude, like, Troeder still made the tackle. That's not the point of it. Like, the stiff-arm, like, made him get the first down. Like, you know, on a third-down conversion. Like, I don't care that Troeder still made the tackle, you know.
Yeah.
Singleton, Allen, run games. Singleton broke that one. Right? That was Singleton who broke that one in the second half.
Yeah, 40-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Oh, and he had a – was it? Yeah, it was 40. And he also had another long one where he got caught right at the end.
Yeah, then Allen with – Allen had that pass, right?
Yeah, the receiving touchdown.
Yep.
But Allen overall, he wasn't really able to get things going. He only had 10 carries for 20 yards.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State did what they were supposed to do. If they want to be considered like a contender, they did what they needed to do. So,
we'll see in about 4 weeks, because I think that's the next time they play somebody real.
Yeah, I think they're at home for 3 straight weeks or something like that. Then they go to USC.
Yeah.
Which USC looked a little more beefy up front. They didn't get pushed around.
I told you they wouldn't.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. Let's get into Kent State at Pitt. Desmond Reed looked fucking incredible. I'm kind of worried about his workload with Rodney Hammond being ruled ineligible. Just because he's a smaller back, it would be really prime if Rodney was eligible. Because then that 1-2 punch would be, I would say, probably the best 1-2 punch at running back in the ACC if Rodney was there.
Yeah, it'd be one of them.
Desmond Reed just looked fucking like, I was like, whew, he's quick. He's just got that playmaking ability. Whenever he gets the ball in his hands, he could just house it. Holstein looked really good, besides, you know, a couple errant throws, that interception on the goal line, not so bueno. Receivers look good.
I mean, the new OC gets the ball into his players' hands. That's all I'll say. I mean, Bartholomew. Yeah, he had a nice game. Kenny Johnson.
Yeah, he broke his career record for like receptions in a game, and the first game that Cade Bell was the fucking year. The defense is kind of worrisome. We were told last year that the defense struggled because the offense couldn't put up points because they were on the field all the time. But this year, you got the offense putting up 52, and you're still putting
the
up...
Well, the one touchdown, they technically only gave up 17 points.
Yeah, because the one came from the muff punt. But Kent State was moving the ball.
They had a couple turnovers where they were moving.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see this week at Cincinnati's kind of a bigger test for the offense and the defense. Everyone knows Cincinnati's no world killer, but it's a step up from Kent State. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm really excited to watch this offense though, because
it was a fun offense. I mean, they went fast. They went the ball around.
They went fast, and it was like it was nice that they didn't hold anything back. Like, oh, this is Kent State. It's like, all right, third play of the game, we're taking a deep shot into the end zone. But, Miami at Florida. Florida is now on my banned list. I will no longer be partaking in any Florida activities in that state.
I mean, you were crazy after what you said all offseason.
Yeah, I said that last year after they went to Kentucky and got their brains blown. They got blown out there in Kentucky, and I was off them. But for some reason, something about the swamp got me going. And I figured out about 5 minutes into the game that the game was over. Whenever it was 10-0, I looked at you and I said, "Game's over." And it was only 10-0, and I just knew the game was over. I should have bet Miami live right then and there. And and it turns out Florida only has about 5 offensive plays.
They have screen left, screen right,
screen, and then run, and then you know they got Montrell Johnson Jr. who break one for 71, and then let's not go back to that. just a pitiful performance for Florida. Billy Napier is going to be gone.
Blackway came in. Is he going to be the guy?
Well, I think Graham got hurt. He got fucking hammered on the play, so I think that's why Blackway came in.
Yeah, he did get hammered, but.
Yeah, but Billy's like turning on his fan base, saying we don't care about what people in Central Florida in their basements talking about, even though in Florida they don't have fucking basements, so you can tell how in tune Billy is with the culture down there in Florida. But Cam Ward looked amazing. I wish he was in Scarlet and Gray doing that in the shoe.
Yeah. Ohio State, slow start.
Yeah, slow start, but, you know, it's week one. They got things rolling. But, yeah, Miami looks really good. They're my front runner in the ACC right now.
Stay on that side, bro.
What? They're my front runner in the ACC. And, yeah, we kind of got to go rocket fast here. Notre Dame at Texas A&M. Connor Wagman was not the answer for A&M. Riley Leonard didn't win the game for Notre Dame, but he didn't lose the game for Notre Dame. Yeah. At the end, it was the physicality. I mean, I love Marcus Freeman.
Yeah,
he's very good. Ohio State Buckeye still talks with Jim Tressel. Yeah, he definitely gets his boys fired up, and he knows when to be aggressive and when to not. And, yeah. LSU versus USC. Brian Kelly cannot win week one against an out-of-conference opponent in the neutral site if his life depended on it. I thought USC was dead in the water after that fourth down failure. I was like, yes, I'm going to win this bet. I'm going to finish this weekend off hot. LSU's just going to fucking march down on the short field and put it in the end zone. Nope, they go three and out, punt the ball back, and yeah, that was that.
Miller Moss looked great.
Miller Moss looked phenomenal. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit couldn't get him enough of Neisheimer, and then he was like, never mind. Let's look at Miller Moss's stats. He's 27 for 31 with, like, 400. You know, like, he was in awe with Neisheimer. Like, he was like, oh, my God, Neisheimer hasn't missed a single ball. Like, he's put it on everyone's face mask. And then Neisheimer, like, misses, like, three straight. But
USC's defense, I told you, with the new DC from UCLA,
They were breaking. Dude, LSU.
Then don't break.
LSU should have put that fucking game away. They started pound the rock with that Jones kid, or Emery, whatever his
I know you're talking.
LSU about. Was, And I was like, dude, this is it. They got the run game going, and then I don't know what happened on that after that fourth down conversion fail. I thought LSU was gonna literally put the nail in the coffin right then and there.
Yeah.
But Brian Kelly's said that he's gotta do better of, like, the guys on the sideline thought the game was over. And then turns, you know, you gotta stay focused for the full 60. Just because you're up doesn't mean it's gonna stay that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's different about USC in sense of offense this year. I think they're actually going to try and really, like, run the ball some games.
Yeah, I mean, but, dude, when you got Malone Moss sling that rock like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's no need to, but they're going to put up points, and I think this year they're actually going to get timely stops.
Yeah, I mean, they did all the comparisons of, they showed, like, the off-season weight gains for the guys up front.
Yeah.
Not getting
pushed. I mean, they're big up front. Around.
Yeah, I mean, LSU tried to go fast a couple times to get that, like, third and short, and they got stuffed.
Yeah.
Which, dude, all around college football, people try to do that this week, like, go really fast.
It didn't work one time.
It didn't work one. And, like, I'm actually, I like that, like, from, like, that, like, before this weekend, like, I was a huge proponent of, all right, third and short, just go up, you know, like, catch them off guard. Yeah. It didn't work one time. Like, the defensive line just gets that push off rip.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're more so hurting your players when you just go real fast, because, I don't know, it's easy for the defense to just, you know, go as hard as they can straight, you know what I mean, straight up.
Yeah. But Boston College at FSU, I mean, I said it last week and I'll say it again, this was a perfect stylistically matchup for Boston College and what they want to do. And what FSU's weak points are. I mean, I don't think Mike Norvell did DJ any favors by dropping back 40 times. FSU really needs to establish a run game, because it's just giving these defenses abilities to just really tee off on DJ, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Florida State's dead in the water, man.
Yeah. they're like the only program that really doesn't control their destiny. Like they start 0-2 in ACC play.
Yeah, it's not like this was non-conference games.
Yeah,
they're 0-2
in ACC play. After suing your conference, doing all this, and to start the season 0-2, that's wild work.
Yeah, and gassing up the media, saying that you have the best defensive line in the country, but they can't stop a nosebleed.
Yeah, I know. And I was listening to my guy, Lewis Riddick, last night, and he was saying, like, FSU, like, physically, like, if you just go to practice and you just watch guys in, like, their ND drills, you're like, yeah, that guy could probably play in the NFL. He's got, like, the body type and everything for it. But then whenever they get on the field, it's just, like, they just get pushed around. And, I mean, it was just a good game plan by Bill O'Brien, too. Just, like, manipulating the defense into, like, the wheel routes off rip with the...
Yeah, he was literally running, like, shark wheel the entire game.
Yeah, I know. Like, and it was open every single time because... I don't know what Florida State has Memphis this week. It's not like they got Albany like West Virginia has Albany this week.
Memphis and then they SMU or something, right?
Yeah, something like that. So it's not like they have some like cakewalk these.
Yeah, they don't have a get right game.
Well, Boston College was supposed to be their get right game.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking like a tune up, like.
Yeah,
they don't play. Everybody they play is P5, right?
Yeah. I think they said on the broadcast, DJ plays like two on time, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
like he can't play off schedule.
Everything's like planned. Everything has to be planned.
If it's not there, then it's like, all right, it's just not there.
There's no improvising. He's not scrambling around and making a throw downfield.
Yep. Let's get into our gambling real quick. I went 5-3 on the weekend. My losses were Colorado -9.5, Florida money line, LSU -4, and I am proud to announce all three of these teams have been banned. I will no longer bet on any of these teams. I can't trust these teams. These teams are just non-trustworthy teams. My wins, UNC -1.5, Georgia -13.5, UNLV money line, that's my wagon of the year. Notre Dame money line and Penn State -8. I have a hot take right now, and I'm just gonna say it right now. I have UNLV making the college football playoff.
They're the group of five.
I think they're gonna win the Mountain West. I think they're gonna be the group of five team. I mean,
that's a bold prediction. I saw a couple predictions today with UNLV in too, though.
I know they shut out Houston at home, like.
Yeah.
And once they clean up some things on the offensive side of, like just penalties and holdings and stuff, they're going to even be more potent.
I really don't know a team to combat you right now because I haven't – that was, like, the first group of five team that could be any good that I actually watched.
We'll watch Boise State next week against Oregon.
Boise State's supposed to be good.
A lot of people have them as their group of five bid. But real quick, actually, Idaho took Oregon to the brink, which doesn't make any sense. You look at the box score, Oregon put up about 1 million yards, but only like
couldn't get in three
touchdowns.
Yeah.
Man.
What was my record?
Oh, so you were 5-2. Your losses were UNC Minnesota over 50.5 and Michigan State -14.
If you watch that Michigan State game, they should have covered that. It won by way more than 6 points. That was atrocious.
Yeah, but it makes sense why it was -14 now, because it was the right number.
Michigan State's offense could not score at all.
Yep, and then you also hit your teaser, your 6-point teaser.
Yep, that would came out to +260.
Was a pretty easy hit.
Yeah.
Might have been your first teaser ever hit.
Yeah, especially this early.
Yeah. I don't know. I really liked the board last weekend.
Looking this week, it's kind of like tricky. You have to like kind of find games.
Hopefully carry it on. But I do have some games I like. I have some games I like. Pitt is a 3.5 point dog on the road at Cincy.
Pitt is a dog?
Yep, they're a dog at Cincy. I really like that. It worries me though, just they don't have the best like record out of conference. I really like that. I also like we'll save that for next episode, but we got a fantasy draft. Sorry for the short episode, and if it wasn't really in depth, but we just got shit to take care of.
We'll be dropping again tomorrow, where we can probably mention some of the stuff that happened last week, you know, talk about these week's games. So.
Yep, we got our week 2 preview coming tomorrow. Thank you for watching. It's your favorite show without an outro.